Hallelujah. We're going to partake in the communion right now. Amen. We're going to have our ushers to come forward. And we're just going to enjoy the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful day to celebrate and remember the victory that the Lord has accomplished for us. Victory over condemnation. Victory over sin. Victory over, you know, guilt and shame. You know, the Lord has given us that dignity of enjoying life and life more abundantly because of His perfect sacrifice. Oh Lord, we're so blessed of all the people. Father God, we can be so blessed to know that we're not guilty anymore because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank You for the privilege to discern the Lord's body, the body that was broken for us, the body that has caused us to become healthy and whole. Amen. We don't have to grow weak. We don't have to become sick. And we don't have to die. But we can enjoy life and life more abundantly. Father, we thank You for the body. Let's partake in the body of the Lord Jesus right now, beloved. I don't know about you. I'm so happy. I'm just so full of joy. Thank You, Lord, for Your body in Jesus' name. And thank You for Your cup, Lord Jesus. The blood that was shed for us. The blood that cleanses us from all sin. The blood that has made us, we're not guilty anymore. Because Jesus, You took all of our condemnation at the cross, so that today there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So beloved of God, let's just partake in the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, for the remission of sins, we're remembering the fact that we have been forgiven of all our sins. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We are so blessed. Hallelujah. We are so thankful for all that You have done. Thank You, Lord Jesus. You are so good. You are so good. Amen. Amen. Let's just remain at rest in the presence of the Lord. Okay? Whatever condition that you are in right now, the Lord knows your situation. The Lord understands your circumstance like no one can understand. And the Lord says, relax and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I am God. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. For I am with you, says the Lord. There is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, it has been condemned. Those tongues cannot bite you. Those tongues have no power because God already condemned all the voices of condemnation and guilt. Your righteousness is of Me, says the Lord. Amen. What a beautiful day. Father, we are so thankful. What an awesome, awesome opportunity to meditate on Your awesome, awesome Word, Father God. Last Sunday, part 17, how the curse has been reversed because of what the Lord has done at the cross on the 17th day. And Father God, right now, as we are entering part 18 of Jesus, our righteousness, Father, we thank You that there will be a greater degree of rest. There will be a greater degree of just knowing deep down inside that everything is going to be okay. There's the knowledge that everything is going to be okay because Jesus has finished the work. Father, thank You for that rest, that deeper joy of knowing that the Lord has become our mercy seat to cover all of our sins and trespasses, so that You only see the righteousness of Jesus in our lives. So Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful as You anoint my mouth and anoint every ears who happen to hear my voice, some are not able to come today. There is no condemnation. But Father God, thank you for those who can come today. I thank you that you have special anointing for them. Just the blessing of the corporate anointing that will bless them in such a way that, Father, there will be a deeper rest. There will be a deeper sense of security down inside, regardless of what storms that might be brewing around us, Father God. We are safe in the ark. Hallelujah. We are safe in the ark, Father God, because Jesus is that ark. Jesus is our protection. Jesus is our provider. Father God, we are so thankful for that corporate anointing right now for everyone in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's just so amazing. Whenever we come with one desire, and that is to behold Jesus more, to see Jesus in His beauty, in His glory. You know, one thing about fixing our eyes on Jesus is something that the Holy Spirit can give us that deeper revelation of what it means to remain still and be able to fix our eyes on Jesus, like Peter. In the midst of the storm, Peter was able to walk on water. That is supernatural. You know, to be able to walk on water, to be supernatural like Jesus, and all Peter had to do was to fix his eyes on Jesus Christ. So whatever circumstances that you're going through, natural means cannot resolve many times the things in life. We cannot rely on natural means. We've got to rely on the supernatural power of God. And God has made us supernatural through the Holy Spirit in us that can help us to stay focused on Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus, so that we also will be transformed unto the same image as our beloved Lord and Savior. And when we become supernatural like our beloved Lord and Savior, whatever storms that try to drown us, they are under our feet, because we can also walk on top of the very water that was trying to drown the disciples. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just surrendering and say, Lord, this is not my problem. This is your problem. I cast all my problems, all my cares on you, because you love and you care for me. Amen. And the Lord is the specialist in handling the things that are impossible in our mind. He's the God of the impossible. Because what is impossible for men is possible with God. So the bigger the problem, the more impossible it seems for you to have that breakthrough, man, I'm telling you, you are in a position to see the miracle power of the Holy Spirit in that situation. Because the more difficult, the more challenging a problem is, the easier for God to take care of that problem. Because your attitude will be, Lord, I can't handle this. It's gotta be all you. And He says, that's it. That's what I want, is for you to let go and let me handle the situation. And when we let go, that means our mind is no longer focused on that problem. You know, when we let go, that means we're saying, Lord, my mind is at rest. That's why I say part 18 is going to give us that deeper rest of Jesus that we need. Amen? And it starts with our mind. Because our mind is the part that many times can be vulnerable. by the fiery darts of the enemy. The devil likes to shoot fiery darts. And many times, the trickery of the devil is, he would put the personal pronoun of the word I am a sinner, or I am not qualified, or I don't want to come to church. But it's not you. He just put the word I in your thought, as if you are the one who's thinking that thought. You see that? How even sometimes the thoughts that seem to be our thoughts may not be our own thoughts. And we need the Word of God to be able to, the Bible says, dividing the difference between soul and spirit. So, when we allow our mind under the full control of the Holy Spirit, is the mind that is full of joy and peace. That's the very easy qualification. Is this mind from the Holy Spirit, or is this from the enemy shooting fiery darts? Is it producing life and peace in you? If it's not, that's not of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace, amen? So if you have thoughts like, well, I'm not qualified, you know, or I'm not good enough, does that produce life and peace in you? No, that's not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always tell you, look, even though you may not be qualified in the natural, but my favor is on you. I love you. And Jesus has already purchased that blessing for you. As long as you put your faith in the blood of Jesus, that blessing is already yours. That is the word of the Holy Spirit to let you know that you are set apart from the rest of the world. The Lord has given you His joy. The Lord has given you His peace. No matter what you are going through, the Lord again knows your situation. The Lord knows your condition. And just a simple word like Abba, Abba, Abba is the Hebrew word. It's not father. It's more like daddy, daddy, Abba. Sometimes the challenge is so overwhelming. You don't know what to pray. Just say, Abba, Daddy. There's the anointing just by calling forth on the name of your loving Heavenly Father. And all of a sudden you know everything's going to be okay. Because your daddy runs the whole universe. Your daddy is God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're born into the family of God. And the same God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is your Father. And you can call Him Abba. You can call Him Father. My daddy, I thank you. I thank you that this whole matter is under your care. You take care of everyone in my family. You take care of my children. You take care of my job. You take care of my family. Abba, Father. Amen. Abba, Father. That is the spirit of sonship that God wants us to have. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, before we reach that deeper intimacy with the Father, where we can have the spirit of sonship, where we can, you know, approach the throne of God with no more sin consciousness, it is very important for us to be established in the first building block of intimacy with the Father. What is the first building block of intimacy with the Father? It's called dikaiosis. Oh, again, that word. If you have been listening to what the Holy Spirit has been sharing throughout the series, you know what dikaiosis is. Dikaiosis is the Greek word for justification. That is the first building block. Because if your foundation on dikaiosis is not strong, then your experience with God will be like a yo-yo experience. One moment you feel God loves you, one moment you feel so close to God, and then there's times that you feel like God is miles and miles away. Lord, where are you? What's going on? Okay, God's intent is for us to enjoy the kind of rest that is not spotty, that is not like only on Sundays. Amen. God wants the kind of rest that comes through the intimate relationship with the Father that is based on the secure foundation of justification purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So sonship is the place of intimacy, and many times people know that God is love. There are many places that teaches on the fact that God is love. But the problem is, without the deeper revelation of Jesus, our righteousness, that intimacy is kind of like on and off, on and off. Let me tell you, that's not God's best for us, to have the on and off experience. God wants us to enjoy the full Jesus rest every day, independent of external circumstances of what's going on. Let me tell you, last Monday was one of the busiest time in my workplace. It's like one problem after another just coming in, piling up. And I was tempted to be stressed out because there are more than one problem that I have to take care of. And there are urgent issues. You know, there are cases where almost everybody is like saying, I'm more important than this customer over here. You got to watch for me. And then the other one says, no, I'm more important. You got to take care of me. So how do you juggle all these things? And to be honest with you, in the midst of my busyness, okay, I was not able to resolve both issues. It was just a hanging issue by the time I left work on Monday. But here's something that I want to tell you. In spite of the problem still hanging in there, I did not find a solution. I did not find a good resolution for all these urgent issues. I still slept like a baby that night. Amen. I still was able to enjoy the kind of Jesus rest where it did not affect my sleep. I was able to enjoy sleeping, something that I have to attribute to the revelation of Jesus, our righteousness. I could not do that before in the past. When something is not resolved at my workplace, usually I'll be stressed out at night. I'll be thinking, how am I going to solve this problem? Thinking that I would have, an extra advantage the next day because I think about it. But if you remember part 14, I taught you the grace of God operates in the now. So if you worry about the problem that can only be taken care of tomorrow, you are wasting your mental energy. You are only causing yourself to be tired because there is no grace to take care of the problem that is supposed to be taken care of tomorrow. So I really am so glad that I see the fruits in my life of Jesus as my righteousness in the midst of problems that I have not fully taken care of. And guess what? The following day, Tuesday morning, I have a choice. Am I going to focus on the Word, or I'm going to try to make things happen by my own self efforts on all these things that I'm supposed to take care of. You know what Jesus said to Martha? Martha, there's only one thing, not two, not three. There's only one thing that is needed. And Mary has chosen the best part. And what did Mary do, beloved of God? She just sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word of Jesus. And so what I did that Tuesday morning was I prioritized God's word. I listened to the messages that is full of life and peace, that reminds me of the kairos, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And God is my witness, not too long after that, the problem that I have no idea of how to resolve it, it was resolved. Not long after that, it was resolved. It was almost like supernatural, because by my logical mind, by my technical expertise, I said, there's no way we can solve this problem. But guess what? Not long after that, just focusing on Jesus, the problem was resolved. And I was able to enjoy still, in the midst of those external circumstances, a deeper Jesus rest. And I want to let you know, what your pastor is enjoying, it's for your benefit. I'm sharing this for your benefit, to let you know that, you know, God wants you to enjoy the kind of restful life, knowing that you are righteous by faith, that is independent of external circumstances. Because if you are having the mindset, Lord, I will rest as long as the problem is taken care of, then what makes you different than the people who don't have the revelation that Jesus has become your righteousness? God has given you an inheritance that is so great that even in the midst of your problem, in the midst of your challenge, if you only do one thing, not even two or three, just one thing that is needful, and that is to sit under my feet and listen to the word of Jesus that reminds you, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You're not guilty anymore. Let go. Let me take care of that issue for you. Just rest and allow the Holy Spirit in you to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. And before long, you see victory over that problem, even though the problem might seem like an uphill battle. Even though the problem might seem like, oh Lord, this is so difficult, this seems like impossible for me to take care of. But God says, if you rest, I will fight the battle for you. Because the battle is the Lord's. The victory is ours, the battle is the Lord's. Amen. We just rest in what He has done. So that is why we want to talk more and more about Jesus, our righteousness. Because Jesus said, a house is only as strong as the foundation. Did you know that? You can build a very nice house, a beautiful house, but if the foundation is built upon sand, God says, when the rain comes, when the wind blows, when the flood comes, that house will not be able to remain standing. Why? Because the foundation is not strong. Now, contrast that with the house that is built upon Jesus, our righteousness, based on Him and His finished work. Same wind, same flood, the same rain, Jesus said. But the house remains standing. Hey, same challenges here. The difference is the foundation. Jesus says, because the foundation is Jesus Himself, the rock of all ages. So you've got to understand, for us to have a stable life, it has to be based on Jesus our righteousness foundation. Because the moment that we depend on our own strength, the moment we depend on our own performance, then guess what? Our own performance becomes like the weakest link in the chain. But when we depend on Jesus' performance, when we depend on Jesus' blood and His finished work, what happens is you become undevourable. You become someone that, you know, is like the devil says, it's a waste of time trying to shoot fire darts on these people, because people at Life Giving Church International, they are so established in Jesus as their righteousness. I cannot say anymore, look at your performance. Look at what you have done lately. Or what have you not done lately? It doesn't work anymore, because your eyes are fixed on Jesus as your righteousness, and through His finished work, you have that strong foundation. Amen? Amen. What an awesome truth. The gospel that sets us free. The gospel that guarantees the rest of Jesus independent of external circumstances, and the gospel that gives us the firm foundation. When everybody else falls, I remain standing because my foundation is Jesus Christ Himself and His finished work. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, you know, beyond just knowing that you are righteous, consistently being able to enjoy a good rest, a good night rest. You know, God promises that I will give a good night's sleep to my beloved. He gives His beloved sleep, the Bible says. So beyond just being able to rest, you know, consistently, regardless of what external circumstances that's going on, God also wants to prosper your body. Consistently, God wants your body to be whole. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be strong and healthy consistently, not on and off thing. There is a secret in Hebrew letter for the word Rapha. Have you heard the word Rapha? Jehovah Rapha. Have you heard that? You are the God that He led me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent Your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. That song is taken from the verse in the Bible when God shows Himself as the healer. I am Yahweh Rapha. He's saying, I am your healing. The Bible did not say, I'm going to heal you. I'm the God who will heal you. That's not in the Hebrew. When you study the Hebrew word carefully, He's saying, I am your healing. I am your health. Now, when you study the word, I am your healer, that word healer is the Hebrew word Rapha. There is a hey at the end of Rapha. And that word, Rapha with a hey, it means to relax. In other words, there is a correlation between your healing and your relaxation. There is a connection between how you can allow Jesus' rest in you to manifest more and more, and the healing of God to manifest more and more. Just by studying the scripture on the word Rapha. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I just give you an extra. That was free. That was free. Hallelujah. That was free, by the way. It was not part of the, you know, the thing that I wanted to share today. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. And all the time, God is so good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You are so good, Lord. Revealing wonderful secrets for those who have ears to hear. So we are so thankful. Thankful. Now, listen. We cannot relax. We cannot be at rest if there is still a sense of guilt and condemnation in our life. Amen? So that's why part 18 is going to give us a deeper revelation of Jesus as our righteousness that will translate eventually into a bigger capacity for us to have this deeper relaxation, this Jesus rest. Amen? So are you ready for part 18? Amen? Including my audience worldwide, not here, but get your hearing ears ready, your God listening ears ready, because we are going to dive deep into part 18. It's going to be great. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Next. This is from Romans 3, 21 to 24. But now, a righteousness coming from God has been brought to light, apart from any law, both law and prophets bearing witness to it, a righteousness coming from God, which depends on faith in Jesus Christ and extends to all who believe. No distinction is made, for all alike have sinned and all consciously come short of the glory of God, gaining acquittal from guilt by His free, unpurchased grace through the deliverance which is found in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. It says we are gaining acquittal from guilt by His free, unpurchased grace through the deliverance which is found in Christ Jesus. So grace is something that cannot be earned. Grace is something that cannot be purchased. And we have this gift of God declaring us, amen. Many times when He's saying through me, you're not guilty anymore. It's through the free, unpurchased grace, through the deliverance which is found in Christ Jesus. Man, this is so amazing to know that all alike have sinned and all consciously come short of the glory of God. But all are eligible. All are eligible, whether you are a Jew, you are a Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised, all are eligible to be able to gain acquittal from guilt by God's free, unpurchased grace through the deliverance which is found only in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Next. Now, this is Romans 3:25, so we're still reading the passage within the flow of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is from a New English Translation Bible. God publicly displayed Him at His death as the mercy seat accessible through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because God, in His forbearance, had passed over the sins previously committed. Now, for those of you who are here in person, you have the special advantage over those who are online, because you can see the picture here. You see the picture? Look at the high priest here. The high priest will enter into the place called the Holy of Holies. Okay, high priest can only enter once a year during the Day of Atonement. So he entered into this Holy of Holies. Notice that there are two cherubim on top of the mercy seat. Okay, the mercy seat is the lid. You see the lid that covered the ark? That's called the mercy seat. And God says, God publicly displayed Jesus at His death as the mercy seat. So Jesus became that covering, if you will. And look at this high priest. What he is doing is, first, he has something that he brought inside the Holy of Holies called the censer. You see the bottom there? That's the censer that he brought, that he burned the incense in there. Everything is pointing to Jesus. These are all types and shadows. They all point to the substance. That incense there that brings the sweet, fragrant aroma is the sacrifice of Jesus that reminds the Father of the perfection. The perfection of the Lamb of God in Jesus Christ. This is the Lamb without defect. And so the perfection of Jesus' life, the beauty of His holiness, the just everything that's good about Jesus is like that incense that goes up before God, like a sweet smelling aroma. So the high priest needs to bring that incense into the Holy of Holies. Again, everything is pointing to Jesus. Everything is pointing to Jesus. Amen. Now notice what he is doing. He's taking a bowl that has the blood of bulls. And what he does is he sprinkles the blood on the east side, on the east side of the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? Now, why the east side? Because the east side is actually the entrance into the tabernacle. The door is facing east. So when he comes in, and the Bible says you are to apply the blood on the east side, is directly at the front of the lid. So he sprinkled that on the mercy seat. And the other thing that he does also is that he sprinkled the blood in front of the mercy seat, on the floor, on the ground. And this time, the high priest has to sprinkle the blood, not one time, seven times. Seven times the high priest has to sprinkle the blood in front of the mercy seat. Why seven? Seven is the number of perfection. It's a picture to let us know today that the ground that we're standing is a ground of perfection through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the devil cannot condemn you anymore. Your position is a perfect position. You are standing on a firm foundation of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that there's no wind, there's no storm, there's no flood that can cause your house to stumble, because your foundation is based on the sprinkled blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has given you and I a perfect standing before God. Amen. Man, there's so much beauty in the Bible. There's nothing insignificant in the Bible. Everything in the Bible is there to provide us with that encouragement, to let us know how much you are loved. Jesus did all of that. This is, you know, today we don't have to get blood and sprinkle blood anymore. This is just types and shadows. The substance is Jesus Christ. This is spiritually, if you will, what Jesus did for you and I, to let you know that God publicly displayed Him at His death as the mercy seat, accessible through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because God in His forbearance had passed over the sins previously committed. Amen. Hallelujah. And one thing that you notice is that when the high priest sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, okay, the two cherubim can no longer see men's rebellions against the law and the commandments of God. So there's one thing that God's eyes cannot penetrate, is the blood of Jesus Christ. So when those two cherubim look down, okay, the cherubim representing the eyes of God can no longer see the broken law, can no longer see the murmuring of that pot of manna when the children of Israel were saying, "What is this worthless bread?" And they can no longer see the rebellion of the children of Israel against the leadership that God put when they rebelled against Aaron. Because inside, there are three items inside the ark: the Ten Commandments, the pot of manna, as well as the rod of Aaron, all representing the rebellion and the sins of men. Now, with the blood of Jesus covering the mercy seat, the cherubim can no longer see all of those rebellions underneath the mercy seat. Amen. Hallelujah. Next. Now, same verse, Romans 3:25, but this one is from the Young's literal translation. So this is like almost word for word that Robert Young translated, and you see a very interesting truth nuggets that you may not see from the New English translation earlier. Romans 3:25, whom God did set forth a mercy seat through the faith in His blood. So how can, you know, this blessing become effective in our life? The Bible has given us the key. It's through the faith in His blood. Faith in Jesus' blood. Amen? For the showing forth of His righteousness because of the passing over of the bygone sins in the forbearance of God. Amen. So that is why, beloved of God, do you remember how the children of Israel, the firstborn, was spared by God when the angel of death came that night to kill all the firstborn of Egypt? Remember? And what happened to the families that have the blood of the lamb on the lintels and the doorposts? They were spared from the tragedy of losing their firstborn son. Remember that? So the blood of Jesus is so powerful. Again, that blood of the Lamb is the type and shadow that points to the blood of Jesus today. As long as you have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, no angel of death can come into your family to create problems. In other words, the devil has no right to create problems in your family as long as you put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. So it is so important to ask the Holy Spirit to fan into flame deeper revelation of what Jesus has already accomplished through His blood. And when I say blood, we're talking about death. Okay? Because you just read from the previous verse. Go back to the previous verse. God publicly displayed Him at His death. See that? So when we talk about blood, we're talking about death. So when we have the deeper revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ, where Jesus already died for us, we know that there cannot be another death in our lives. There cannot be another death in our family when death has already occurred. We don't have to be lawyers. Have you heard of this law called double jeopardy? The same crime cannot be tried twice. So when God had taken all of your sins and placed them upon the body of His Son, Jesus Christ, and sin was judged so severely that the Bible says the kind of death that Jesus experienced in the book of Isaiah, you can study for yourself. The word there, when Jesus died, it's a violent death. It's the kind of death that is violent. Because the Hebrew word is not death, it's deaths, plural. Death, death. Death, death, signifying that our beloved Savior had taken our death upon Himself to the deepest degree of the most violent death that anyone can experience. On this side of heaven, we can never understand the agony and the sacrifice that our beloved Lord and Savior went through. But you know that He went through all that to let us know that, you know, you're not guilty anymore. And I declare you righteous, and I want you to live a life that is so blessed that is no longer up and down, depending on external circumstances. But I give you a life, and life more abundantly, where you know that you know that you know that because I already died for you, you don't have to die again. There does not have to be any more death in your family. There does not have to be any more depression. You know, depression is a form of death in the mind. There has no longer any need for you to pay for the consequence for your mistakes, for your sins. Because faith in the blood of Jesus, we're saying it's no longer dependent on my sacrifice. It's no longer dependent on my death. It's no longer dependent on my blood. It's dependent on His blood. Amen? Hallelujah! So the more we hear the gospel truth of Jesus, our righteousness, the more we hear that He died for me, His blood was shed for me, the more faith will be built up in our hearts in His blood. And no death whatsoever can come near our dwelling place. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because, you know, where there is light, there cannot be darkness. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Right? Because Jesus already died. Today we can live and live more abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are so good. This is amazing. This is amazing. Now, the other thing that you need to understand is that when you have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, believe that Jesus' sacrifice is perfect. His sacrifice is perfect according to the acceptance of that sacrifice in the eyes of God. Think what I just said. This is a deeper revelation, because I feel like, you know, those who have a heart for it, they can understand what I just said. Having faith in the blood of Jesus does not mean that you have to have a perfect knowledge of the blood of Jesus Christ to enjoy the full benefits of what Jesus has done. As long as you know that God accepts the sacrifice according to the knowledge that God has of how perfect the blood of Jesus is, and you put your faith in His blood from the perspective that God sees the perfect work of Jesus, and only He knows the perfection of what Jesus has done, you, even though your knowledge may not be perfect on the blood of Jesus, can expect to receive the full blessings out of the revelation of having faith in His blood. I don't know about you, that's so amazing to know that it's not dependent on how perfect my knowledge is of the blood for me to get the full blessing. But based on my faith in His blood, that Lord, Your blood is perfect, and the Father accepts the perfect sacrifice, and according to the Father's knowledge, I'm expecting the full efficacy, the full blessings from Your blood to manifest in my life, even though I may not have all the ins and outs of the blood of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Man, it's such a restful knowledge to know that having faith in Jesus' blood, as long as I know the blood is perfect and the Father accepts it, then no more death. No more death for my family. No more death for my church. No more death in my finance or in my relationships. Amen? Do you see the blessings here? Amen? Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, let's see what we have next. Let's see if we can take another one. This is from Romans 3:26. So still within the same flow, we just read Romans 3:25. Now it's Romans 3:26. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. One more time. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So this verse is saying that God is righteous in declaring you righteous because your faith is in Jesus. And look at the word justifies there. That's in the present tense. Did you see that? If the verse says justified, past tense, then it's a one-time deal. But here it says just and the one who justifies. So it's something that God continuously justifying you as you continuously put your faith in Jesus. More specifically, within the context of the previous verse, I constantly put my faith in His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So when you fail, when you sin, quickly go back to the cross. Quickly see the blood of Jesus that had already paid the penalty and all the consequences of your mistakes and sins. And what happens is, when you continuously make this into your lifestyle, where your lifestyle is full of the cross, is full of the blood of Jesus Christ, what happens is, there will no longer be any need in the body to create sickness, diseases as a punishment because of the sins that we may have committed. Do you understand what I just said? I mean, many times the body will have this need of punishing itself whenever it recognizes through the conscience saying that, well, you've done something wrong. You should not have thought that kind of thinking. How could you call yourself a Christian and you think such kind of thoughts? Now what happens is, if this goes on and on and on and on for a long time, the body is pretty intelligent. The body is, sometimes there can be like a civil war inside and saying, okay, looks like somebody needs to be punished here. Somebody's got to pay the price here. Alright? And what happens is, if we don't put our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, many times the first area that got hit in the human body is the colon area. That's why many times if you are in a fearful situation, in a like a very intense, stressful situation, many times you feel stomach discomfort. That's usually the first area that many people experience, because that's one of the things that happens in human body without us realizing, when we're not hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the gospel, like the gospel that you're hearing right now, subconsciously, without realizing, there is a need for punishment. And that's why God says, I want you to remember, I am just to justify you, present tense, even in the middle of your sin, even in the middle of you thinking, you know, wrong thoughts. Many times it's not even your thoughts, sometimes the fiery darts of the enemy. Okay, I am just to declare you not guilty anymore. You are righteous because you put your faith in the blood of my Son. This is something that the devil does not want you to hear. The devil wants you to be always in the mode of self-introspection. What have I done lately? You know, what have I not done lately? But God is trying to remind you through the Holy Spirit, don't look at yourself. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. He already paid for the penalty of that sin, so that you don't have to punish yourself anymore. Look at the cross. Look at the cross. Look at the blood. That's why I love that beautiful hymn. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Amen. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. So, beloved of God, listen to what I am about to say carefully. Remember, God is just to declare you righteous. Your part is to keep on putting your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that you don't allow your body to be, you know, unknowingly punishing itself. Do you understand? That's why it's so important to be hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, our righteousness, again and again. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time and all the time. God is so good. Next, please. Remember I mentioned about the first building block? Dikaiosis. Look at the slide. That is the very first building block called justification. And again, that comes from Romans 3:26. God is just, and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So now you know the first building block has to be secure, has to be firmly established in your life. Dikaiosis. Amen. Justification. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For those of you who like to study further about the second, third, and fourth building block, I recommend one of my teachings on the four building blocks of intimacy with the Father, available at lgci.info. Amen. So just check out, you know, our website on that teaching that I did back in 2012, and it's just still as powerful today. Amen. Hallelujah. Next. Now this is Romans 3:27 to 28 from the Weymouth New Testament. Where then is there room for your boasting? It is forever shut out. On what principle? On the ground of merit? No, but on the ground of faith. For we maintain that it is as the result of faith that a man is held to be righteous apart from actions done in obedience to law. And the word law there is the Greek word nomos, of any law whatsoever. It's not just limited to the Ten Commandments. And it says, we maintain that it is as the result of faith that a man is held to be righteous apart from actions done in obedience to law. So as long as you put your faith in the blood of Jesus, God sees you righteous. And there's no more boasting. There's no more boasting like the religious Pharisees. You know, I've done this, you know, I've done that. There's no more boasting because it's on a basis of faith. Faith in what? Faith in His blood that we are declared righteous today. Amen? Hallelujah. Next. Now, this is from Romans 3:31. Matthew 5:17, Romans 8 verse 3 to 4, and Romans 10:4 is going to answer a very difficult question after we understand that we are no longer under law but under grace. Do we then make void the law through faith? So this is the question in Romans 3:31 here. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea. We establish the law. What does it mean? We establish the law. Does that mean we go back under law and we try to build the law back up? What does it mean that we establish the law? The answer is found in Matthew 5:17. Listen to what Jesus said. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. You see that? So when you study the scripture and you believe that you are no longer under law, And you've got people saying, well, the Bible says Jesus did not come to abolish the law. And then they stop there. And then they stop there. Keep on reading. It says, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Alright? So Jesus said, yes, the law is not abolished, but I came to fulfill it. Now, what does it mean that Jesus came to fulfill the law? This is found in Romans 8, verse 3 to 4. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of a law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, how did Jesus fulfill the law? Based on Romans 8, verse 3 to 4, is by God making Him to be a sin offering for us. And then what happened is, God condemned sin in the flesh. That's how Jesus fulfilled the law, because it says He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met. Same word as the word fulfill. You see the asterisk I put there? So might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is deep stuff. This is stuff that you typically, you know, would have to look up your concordance to understand what it means. Christ fulfilled the law. Christ fulfilled the law by Him, once again, becoming a sin offering, and then God condemned sin in the flesh. Because the word fulfill there is the same word that Romans 8:4 mentioned, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Now look at the Greek word here. Look at the word in. I underline the word in because if I change that word to by, okay, so that the requirement of the law might be fully met by us, then it changed the whole context now. The burden is on you because the requirement of a law must be fulfilled by you. But when you study the manuscript there, it's not saying fully met by us, but it's fully met in us. How? By the Holy Spirit in us. Do you hear what I'm saying? So this is the gospel truth to let us know. Today, by the Holy Spirit, we can be led by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the requirement of the law, so that we are actually establishing the law, not by living under it, but by believing in Jesus as our sin offering, and God already condemned sin in the flesh. Meaning that when you sin today, you cannot be condemned anymore because God already condemned sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so therefore, by the grace of the Lord Jesus here, Romans 10:4 comes in. Now you understand Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Oh my goodness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So, let me kind of put it in a nutshell, in a words that is simple and easy to understand here. The natural question for everyone who has been enlightened that we are no longer under law, but we are under grace, is the question that Apostle Paul posed in Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? The answer, God forbid, yea, we establish the law. How do we establish the law? By us putting faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, because Jesus did not abolish the law, but He fulfilled it when He became your sin offering in your place. So that when you sin today, you cannot be condemned anymore, because He had already been condemned as our sin offering. God condemned sin in the flesh in order the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us, but in us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is why Christ is the end of the law for righteousness unto everyone who believe. Believe in what, brother? Specifically, my faith has got to be in the blood of Jesus Christ, because He is the fulfillment of the law, because He has become my substitute. He has become the sin offering at the cross. So that, body, relax. Body, you don't have to punish yourself anymore. Every time you fail, every time you make a mistake today, body, relax. Conscience, relax. It's been paid for. And then what happens, beloved of God? I don't make empty promises. Once you make this into a revelation in your life, not only your sleep will be sweet, but also you will have a body that is consistently full of the peace of Christ. There's no more internal civil war thing going on. Your body will feel so much at rest. And when your body is relaxing, I already showed you the correlation of the word Rapha and the word Rapha, your healing will also manifest so much effortlessly. When your body learns to stop fighting against itself because of the lack of hearing of the gospel truth, that you're not guilty anymore, and that because you put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, you know what? God is just to justify you even in the middle of your failures. Right in the middle of you losing patience with your spouse. Right in the middle of you maybe feeling bored. I realize feeling bored is the work of the flesh. God never created man to be bored. It's the flesh saying, man, you know, what a blah moment. That's the work of the flesh. In the middle of you feeling blah, God says, I'm righteous to declare you still my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased, because you put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, today we have unconditional love and acceptance of our loving Heavenly Father that provides eternal security in our soul, that will cause our body to be consistently in the state of relaxation. And when your body is consistently in the state of relaxation, no matter how busy you might be, like what I was earlier this part of the week, man, your sleep will still be sweet and your body will be whole. Amen? Man, I'm teaching you something that is really, really based on Scripture. This is not motivational talk. I just proved to you from Scripture everything that I shared with you today. And the Holy Spirit will fan into flame these words as you listen to this message again and again, and then you pray in tongues. When you fan into flame the gift of tongues as you listen to these anointed words backed up by the Scripture, you begin to have your own revelation. You begin to see the revelation of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? Hallelujah! God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Next. Hallelujah. That's it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. So you have a full course meal today. And I believe the Lord Himself is the one who has fed you with the gourmet food today. As long as you continue to come with the attitude, Lord, I know so little about the gospel of the fact that Jesus has become my righteousness. Because if you think your cup is full, God cannot fill it up any further. But if you believe that, Lord, I know very little, even though it's part 18, I know very little on Jesus as my righteousness. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty to know more of Jesus and what He has done. And God says, because that's your attitude, because you have the humility like a little child, I will satisfy you. Amen. So always have that heart like a little child. Lord, fill me up. My cup is empty. Fill me up to the brim. Amen. I believe He has just done that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And we are so thankful for Your grace. Now, beloved of God, as we're going to close today's service, I believe the Lord Himself is the one who's going to seal the Word. It's not you maintaining the revelation. The revelation will maintain you. Your part is just positioning yourself in the rivers of God that is flowing, and allow the rivers of the Holy Spirit to carry you through. And you just enjoy the ride. You allow the Holy Spirit to lead you throughout this week. So have an open heart as I speak blessing right now over you, for the Holy Spirit to enlighten the Word and for God to seal the Word, such that the Word will produce fruits in our lives throughout this week. Father, in Jesus' name right now, we thank You for Your Word. The Word that has set us free as we believe in Your Word and continuously hunger and thirst more for Your righteousness. Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your Word today. Seal the Word by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that we have a listening heart, a listening ear, to keep on listening again and again the gospel that You have preached today through Pastor Henry. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, our faith is in the blood of Your most darling Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.